Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Thursday, July 21st, 2016. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On tonight's program, ladies and gentlemen, yes, indeed. Live coverage of the final night of the 2016 Republican National Convention from Cleveland, Ohio. On the convention docket tonight, closed the window of the convention. No, I didn't. It is starting off tonight's with Brock Mueller, motivational speaker.
Great guy.
U.S. Representative Marsha Blackburn, completely insane congresswoman from Tennessee. Governor Mary Fallon, governor of Oklahoma, rumored to maybe, possibly have been vetted for vice president, and then it turned out that she was a female, and of course she wasn't. Dr. Lisa Shin, National Diversity Coalition for Trump, trying to figure out what part of Trump's hotel company she probably worked at. Reince Priebus, the Republican National Chairman. Jerry Falwell, Jr., the president of Liberty University, and of course, the other Republican National Chairman. Peter Thiel, he's a venture capitalist who spends his money on trying to shut down media outlets and to finance garbage scows where we will all live and have our own currency.
Tom, not all of us.
Not all.
There's definitely some people that are not invited.
That's true. Tom Barrack, CEO of Colony Capital. Whatever. Ivanka Trump, the daughter of Donald Trump and the EVP at the Trump Organization. And then, of course, Donald J. Trump, America's favorite fascist, will be speaking tonight. Also on the program tonight, we have an interview with Rick Perlstein. We anticipate many people calling in. Hopefully our correspondent, who was reporting to us two floors underneath the RNC, nearly Senator Catherine Harris, who, of course, was the Secretary of State of Florida during the 2000 election. And, here's Reince Priebus making his way. I bet he's going to...
Reince Priebus.
All right. Priebus. Let's get this thing going. Let's pretend like
Okay, what the heck?
I haven't been weeping all day. Hopefully, Catherine Harris will call in. She may have passed away underneath the convention floor. She was stuck, last we heard from her. She was stuck in a pipe trying to break in. She's blowing her rape whistle slash Kasich kazoo.
Heavenly joy.
Well, I'm not going to make people listen to this. So.
Thank you. Wait. Heavenly joy.
What is it? They have another kid singing?
Of course.
Oh, she's so cute.
Let there be peace on earth.
Ooh. The irony of that's too much for me.
I know.
Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was.
Can we record this to play under Trump's speech? I think the juxtaposition of him calling for
just like the little girl said, I mean, you know, peace on earth.
Peace
fantastic.
On earth. It's great. Fantastic. Listen, I want to take this time, since the kids are here, I want to take this time to apologize for how drunk I got last night on the broadcast.
And apologize in advance for tonight as well.
Well, let me get there. Because I do intend to get more drunk tonight. Last night, I said some things that I probably, under normal circumstances, wouldn't have articulated. The part about when I referred to Ted Cruz as, I don't know, something involved fecal matter and Ted Cruz and I mean, I want to apologize. And fortunately, only members are subjected to that. And you can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com and becoming a member today. We did hear from one of our longtime supporters and listeners of this program that in the almost 2 decades he's been listening to me, mm-hmm. and it's really been closer to like 12, 13 years. But I guess that's 2 decades.
It's in the ballpark. She's singing another song.
Wow. She's heavenly.
Wouldn't it be great if she just took over the lineup?
He said that in all that time, he's never heard me more drunk. And I think that's probably true. I don't think I've ever... I'm not sure I've been that drunk in... well, no, I know I have, but...
Yeah, you definitely have, but not on air.
Not on air.
You know what I responded to him? I said, it's true.
It's true.
It's really true. It's a fantastic point.
I also hope that we're going to hear from our cast of characters tonight. Yep.
Sorry, go ahead.
The speakers, of course. And we have an honored guest in our studio tonight. I don't know how much you want to reveal, Ray. But Ray is here. He doesn't.
He's a world-renowned academic. I mean, it's true.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble, particularly with the way I was swearing last night.
That might be true, actually.
Like a drunken sailor.
No, it was actually the type of thing that sailors would be like, dude, just ease up.
Right. Please, you're embarrassing
us. Stop
it. Get down there. Swab the decks. Yeah. Peter Thiel, supposedly tonight, will...
Thiel.
will say that he's a proud gay man, and that'll be interesting. To see how the Republicans react to that.
And that he basically bankrupted Gawker because they reported that.
I don't know if he's going to. Oh, yes. Yeah. The colors tonight
will be presented by the veterans of foreign wars. God, okay. Reince is, I was gonna so say, beleaguered.
There they go. Marching through. I've seen... Donald Trump's speech tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. Maybe we could deliver it before he does.
I think we can do that. Are people... how's the live stream doing? That's uncertain.
It's uncertain at this point?
I'm getting... Yeah. We're getting some tweets.
We are. That's strange.
Yeah.
So some people are getting it and some people are not getting it.
Some people are getting it and some people are not getting it.
That is very strange. Because I'm getting it. I'm looking at it right now. I just clicked on it again and all right.
If we're not gonna get rid of it, you should talk about Harry's before we do the Trump preview.
Yeah, I think that's true actually. Let's put down the TV for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll notice that if you are able to get the live stream, you'll notice that I have got my hair cut. And then when I got my hair cut, I had to shave. And as you know, that shaving is not the... Oh, wait a second. This is the motivational speaker. Let's turn this guy up. I get it.
No, that's Tony Perkins.
That's Tony Perkins.
That's not the motivational speaker. Oh. That's Perkins. We can do Harry's instead of Perkins for
yeah,
the love of
oh,
God.
Definitely.
Or
for the love of God.
The love of Allah. Actually.
Exactly. Let's put it down.
Excuse me.
So, like I said, I got a haircut the other day. And when you get a haircut, you got to shave. Because the guy put a gap of like an inch between my beard and my sideburns.
Was it like a hint?
You know, usually he asks if I'm going to shave. Huh. And my plan was to not shave. But then I had to shave because I had a weird gap in between my beard and my sideburns.
Where's he from?
Where's he from?
Yeah.
Russia.
I had a suspicion.
He wanted to trim my eyebrows, he said.
It'll look better. It's too
That's
thick.
What he said. I said, no, I don't want to do that.
You don't want to keep your beard.
But here's the point, folks. It used to be when I shaved, it was a nightmare. Now, it's far more pleasant. Why? Because of Harry's. For over 2 years now, I've been using Harry's. It has both amazing quality and low prices. Harry's makes just one razor with all you need for a close, comfortable shave. 5 German-crafted blades, a flex hinge, and a lubricating strip. Quality guaranteed. Full refund if you're not happy. You know that I got my dad Harry's set. You know that I have been using Harry's. The Harry's starter set is called the Truman. It's a great option for new customers. And it's an amazing deal. Look, there's factory direct prices. They've cut out the middleman. No upcharges. It's half of the leading brand. You ready for this? The Truman set, just $15. You get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, 3 of Harry's 5 blade German engineered shaves. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show. Ray, you're going to want to hear this. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase. That's with promo code Majority Report. I know you won't forget that. Go to harrys.com right now. Look for the Truman set. That's Harry's. Ray is literally taking out his computer and going to Harry's right now. Harry's, HARRYS.com. Enter the code Majority Report at checkout. Get $5 off. So that first deal, Ray, the Truman, will cost you $10. That's crazy.
They make great deals.
Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. Ray has to shave because he goes in and he teaches. He doesn't want to look, wants to look presentable. So go to harrys.com.
This is the motivational speaker, I believe.
All right. Well, let's check him out.
He doesn't look like a living miracle to me. Oh, oh no, no.
How many
Reverend Stephen Bailey?
How many reverends and pastors and?
Well,
and
I guess they had a Muslim guy the other night, so they need to.
They double up.
Yeah,
they have to double up to. So last night, Ted Cruz went off the reservation, as it were, the Trump reservation. So off the off reservation, and I don't know if he anticipated the backlash that he got. I don't know if he wanted to make this mutiny as pointed as it ended up being as defined by the Trump supporters. But here is Ted Cruz going to a morning gathering after his convention speech in which he refused to endorse Donald Trump, justifying that. I mean, I heard some people going back and forth with each other like, it's as if you're engaged to somebody and then you find out that they've cheated on you or they've done bad things and then you break off the engagement. That's
no excuse.
It's very strange.
Yeah, I mean, look.
But here's Ted Cruz explaining why. Hold on 1 second. Huh?
What happened? Ooh.
We're having a tough technical day.
We are having a really tough technical day. It's okay. It's okay.
Should we...
you want to get to... Is there any other sound that you could get to easily, Matt? Okay, dude.
Okay.
This is actually quite funny.
Now, as you know, at one point I worked with Montel Williams at Air America.
I didn't know that.
Well, as you now know, Montel Williams was brought on when the geniuses at the last... iteration of Air America, we're going to make the most liberal website ever and more like an independent radio network, which I encouraged them. I told them that this day was impressive because they were the first media enterprise in probably 30 years, probably even any type of business that was actually laying out a horizontal business plan. And I suggested what they should do is open up a shoe store and refuse to advertise on either their radio channel or their website, therefore making it completely disaggregated. Well, Montel Williams apparently was invited to go on O'Reilly's show. And when he showed up, he found out that they had sort of changed the agreed upon format of the show. So Montel walked off. O'Reilly apparently got on and said he was a coward.
Coward. He went to bed. He's a coward.
And then Montel gets on Periscope. I mean, it's sort of amazing what we've seen in the past, just even the past week, like where Erdogan from Turkey, 10 years ago, there's no mechanism for him to speak to the people of Turkey because the coup people would have had the control of the major media outlets. It could have theoretically changed the entire trajectory of the coup. Now he can speak directly to them. Ball game over. Same here with Montel Williams. Fascinating. Here he is really digging in to Bill O'Reilly.
I know you've just heard about this debacle that happened when I attempted the Fox interview, but let me set this record straight. First off, I was told earlier today, like I've done all day long, I've done about 10 interviews while I've been here at the Republican National Convention. I was told earlier today that there was a possibility of me going to O'Reilly to talk about the same issues that I've been talking about since I've been here. When I arrived at the set to go on to the O'Reilly show, I found out that they had changed topics, or at least now changed the entire format that I was told I was going to arrive on. That was not what I agreed to participate in, and I left. Now, this is the first time that I have not done an interview that I was scheduled to do, probably in the last 5 years, and I chose not to do this interview. That doesn't bring the O'Reilly show to a screeching halt. It should not have even affected Bill because there's 9 million people here trying to get on the air. But then you have to take it to another place, O'Reilly, and try to call me a coward because I won't talk to you when your producer and your line producer clearly hoodwinked each other and couldn't figure out how to explain what it is they wanted me to do. So let me talk about this little coward thing for a second. The word coward is usually used on people who have done most of the things that you've done, like embellish and lie about your credentials as a journalist, like the fact that your own daughter in a testimony in a court case reported in the Washington Post said that you dragged your ex-wife down a flight of stairs. You want to talk about coward, homeboy? When you point a finger this way, look at that. Three are coming back. We know who the coward is, and if I'm a coward just because I won't talk to you, let's also remember this. I spent 22 years in the military, my friend. What you made sure you shirked your responsibility and didn't serve. You want to talk about coward? That's what a coward truly is. Someone who's going to call somebody a name on air and not even to their face. I'm calling you one now so the whole world can see it. That's the definition of real coward. Leave me alone. You don't want me on your show anymore? Let's make sure we get this clear. In the history of the O'Reilly show, I've only done it 3 times. I don't care.
Montel wins. I mean, Montel wins. And it's especially fun because this is a day where Roger Ailes is leaving Fox News. And granted, he's doing so, I think, with something like a $60 million golden parachute. But, I mean, he's not long for this place anyways. So,
Earth?
Yeah.
You want to get a little more explicit? Like, yeah. Not long for respirating?
Yeah, I don't think so. So, good for Montel. Let's listen to Anthony Perkins from the Family Research Council. He is a charlatan who... as far as I know, I think it was the Family Research Council that promoted the notion that Lenny the Shark was gay, secretly gay or something like that. Can we turn up the TV?
I thought it was Teletubbies.
Since then, but the source of America's hope and future has not. It is found in the same place today as it was in 1863 and in 1954, under God. But my
look
friends,
at the people in the hat. Stand up.
And unite under God has been under steady assault. This is why we must stop those in our government and on our courts who have either in principle or practice attempted to remove these two words, under God and all that they mean, from public life here in America.
From this guy is not an electrifying sociopath at all.
To the party platform,
quite boring.
And the policies it promotes, Donald Trump has committed to upholding and protecting the first freedom, and therefore our
Do
ability.
We know why the video is there? Let's try it on the jury report live.
And therefore our ability as citizens to unite our nation once again under God. Let us go forth from here and
well,
do that work.
We don't know what.
Thank you.
So
and God bless you.
Try that. please.
People should know about Donald Trump is that he cares and appreciates people more than he's given credit for.
I can tell you that it's usually the first thing out of my mouth. I'm extremely proud to work for the Trump family. I'm extremely proud to work for the Trump organization.
I've never seen the difference between a female and a male within our company. If you look at the Trump organization, I would say there's probably more females than there are males.
The Trump organization has more minorities and female executives than any organization or firm for which I've ever worked.
He gave me a tremendous amount of responsibility. He mentored me through the entire process. He was always extremely available. He was supportive of me when I had my daughter 4 years ago.
He is a mentor to so many, and he is kind. And I think that's something that doesn't necessarily get out there as much as it should, but he is a kind person who loves to help people.
I think one of Mr. Trump's greatest talents is being able to see within you what your strengths are. Strengths that you might not have even recognized within yourself.
He expects a lot out of his employees, but I think that's why he's so successful. He makes you want to work harder.
He sort of drives people to excel. He finds talent in people that they don't know exist sometimes, and I think that's incredibly inspiring. He's inspiring.
And he's always had a knack for finding the right talent and matching that person up with the right position and that person being extremely successful.
He extracts the most from people because people want to measure up to his expectations.
All right. So, folks, apologies. We're having problems with our video stream for some reason. What we're going to do is play this interview, which is obviously an audio interview I did with Rick Perlstein earlier this evening. And here's that Rick Perlstein interview now. On the Majority Report on the phone, it is a pleasure to welcome back to the program the national correspondent for the Washington Spectator, among other titles, and of course the author of is it four books now, or at least I know of three off the top of my
head.
Four to come. Nixonland, Before the Storm, and The Invisible Bridge, of course, which is, if you want to understand the conservative movement, certainly all three of those you should start with in order. Rick Perlstein, thank you so much for joining us.
Too kind, Sam. It's always great to talk.
So, all right. We were just on the phone talking about, give me your assessment, broadly speaking, of this convention, of all conventions.
Right. I've been thinking a lot about this. What the heck are these things, political conventions, and why do people care so much? They used to be real political meetings, Sam. I mean, think about it. Parties actually decided things, and they had to get together to decide these things. And they were momentous things, you know, not just who's going to run for president, which often wasn't known going into the convention, but what the party stood for. I mean, 1948, the Democrats are literally deciding whether they are for civil rights or against civil rights. They decide they're for civil rights. You know, the Dixiecrats and Strom Thurmond walk out, and that sets in motion a huge shift in American politics. 1968, the Democratic Party is trying to decide whether they are for the Vietnam War or against the Vietnam War. I mean, what could be more fundamental? And they're doing it at this convention. They're voting on it. All that stuff goes by the wayside when the parties figure out how to stage these things as TV pageants. And the and part of it is, function just kind of fades away.
And part of it is, I mean, it seems to me that following 68, essentially, the nominating process largely is, well, not largely, I mean, it is at this point a function of the primaries and the caucuses. And I don't think a lot of people recall that prior to 68, there, you know, primaries and caucuses were just sort of, that was to just give you like a signal, you know, like a piece of evidence as to who should be.
It was a very complicated system. Yes, there were preference primaries, which weren't binding. which kind of told the leaders which people they should support if they wanted to keep their jobs. There were caucuses that were in back rooms, and some were binding and some weren't. It was an extremely complicated thing. But the way to explain this best is for the Republicans in 1968, Ronald Reagan decided he was going to run for president and announced it at the convention.
Wow.
And, you know, had Nixon not struck a deal with, again, Strom Thurmond, this very powerful guy in this story, you know, it would have been a contested convention. And it would have been not just a contested convention between Reagan and Nixon, but between Reagan and Rockefeller and Nixon. And Rockefeller and Reagan literally conspired together to try to get Nixon denied a first ballot victory. And then the football would be tipped up in the air, and they were both convinced that they could, you know, kind of cross the goal line. The Democratic convention, of course, Hubert Humphrey didn't enter any primaries. He never faced a single voter and became the nominee because the process was largely controlled by these backroom power brokers, you know, the unions and the urban bosses. And that changes afterwards as the McGovern Commission that is in operation by 1972. The Republicans have their own, and there are more binding primaries. But still, things are still interesting going through 1976, in which it's not certain whether Reagan or Ford will be the nominee going into Kansas City. And then even in 1980, there was considerable consternation over whether Ted Kennedy might be able to pull it out, or at least have enough power to deny Carter the platform he wanted.
And I mean, haven't this year, I mean, with this Republican convention, it seems to me that there is some value in it, perhaps not so much for the party, although I guess there was an attempt to sort of bring unity there, but it didn't. I mean, it on some level, the disunity that we saw, you know,
right.
Ted Cruz, his basically his mutiny, if you will.
Right.
And the fact that it's half empty, and the fact that none of the party elders have chosen to attend, you know, I guess except for Bob Dole.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, a pageant is not easy to stage.
Well, but they're also,
you know?
But they're also,
yeah.
I mean, from the party's perspective, right? They're signaling, they're adding fuel to the fire that there's dissent within the Republican Party. I mean, to a certain extent, it's a lame attempt, but a part of it is like their stop Trump attempt there, and Trump obviously
yeah.
trying to do the opposite. I mean, so it's a
it
little...
really was lame, other than Cruz doing this remarkable thing, kind of laying down his marker to kind of pick up the pieces of the Republican Party after, at least this is his bet, Trump goes down in flames. Now, what is the thing, Sam, you mentioned the half empty. I didn't necessarily notice that it was particularly empty. I mean, the early days are of these conventions are always not quite full. And then they did this really stupid scheduling thing of having Melania speak
right.
and then having a bunch of people speak after her. So people, you know, kind of walked out after that. But I don't think the attendance is necessary. You know, last night was packed to the gills.
Yes,
because,
that's
you know,
true.
The main event. I don't know. Is that what the coverage is saying?
I mean,
you know,
I've
the coverage
seen
has been really bad. I think a lot of the people haven't been to conventions or saying these things.
I mean, I the first two nights that seemed a little bit sparse. You know, even
yeah,
at like 8 p.m.
Typical, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that may be the case, and I guess we'll have a better sense tonight. I imagine everybody's going to be in the house
mobbed.
Tonight. And
so that's my experience, that the intensity increases as the days go on. In the first couple of days, you know, it's easy for a reporter to wander around and find a seat in the gallery, and then it becomes, you know, impossible.
Let me ask you this, because
on the part, yeah.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Oh, I mean, on the party division thing, it's very interesting. The kind of excitement we anticipated was it would have been amazing had Cruz stayed in, had Kasich stayed in, and we would have seen this kind of ancient art. You know, I can imagine them kind of like going through these dusty old tomes, like in like Game of Thrones or something
right.
like that. Like, how do we do this? You know, how do we do a credentials challenge? But things came together, and the fact that the Republican Party, most of it, not all of it, you know, symbolized by Chris Christie, ended up being so craven and lining up behind Trump. And then they had the platform process. You know, I remember a while back, I think it was Mitch McConnell saying, how do we write a platform with this guy? He doesn't believe the same things we do believe. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be crazy. But then when they get together for the platform committee, you know, the establishment has no trouble signing off on, you know, oh, let's get rid of free trade. And Trump has no trouble signing on to let's call pornography the biggest public health crisis in the country. And, you know, everyone just the lion lays down with the lamb because they all want power. And, you know, Trump is the bandwagon.
That's what was so amazing about what Cruz is doing, because I don't know if he meant it to be as stark as it seems like the reaction made it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But nevertheless,
I think he did. Yeah.
But nevertheless, he is. It's not just he is voting that the he is. I should say betting.
Yeah.
That there is a significant portion of the Republican Party that is not interested in Trump, and that is.
Yeah.
That's pretty stunning, right? I mean,
it was stunning. That was definitely the most interesting thing, and I was actually there on the floor. You can kind of sign out these floor passes. So I was there as people were booing, and I was standing right next to Heidi and Raphael. You know, I was really worried he was going to pull out a gun and shoot someone, you know, because he killed Kennedy, as you know. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's definitely up in the air. I mean, it's out there.
It's up in the air. So I saw the reaction on her face as she was booed and had to be kind of escorted out by security, and people screaming at Ted Cruz, this Texas guy with his, you know, eyes flashing like the absolute, you know, like demon possessed, you know, saying that Cruz was dead to him and all that. And yeah, Cruz is, you know, making this bet. I got to say, Cruz, everyone hates him, but I respect him so much more than Chris Christie. Yeah. I mean, Chris Christie is the most Orwellian character. He gives this speech about Hillary Clinton deleting her emails when he deleted his texts, gives a speech about how wicked she is for, you know, being in bed with Putin when, you know, Trump and all his advisors are in bed with Putin. Mm. And just is willing to do anything to sidle up to his buddy. It was quite a performance.
Yeah, no,
you know,
he is craven.
The whole, you know, witch hunt thing.
There's a cravenness about Chris Christie that is really, I think, Olympic in its practice. And, you know, Cruz, at least, I mean, he's making a bet, and he's made a bet.
God love him.
And what really strikes me is just that, like, that's not just like a bold bet. Like, Cruz is not an idiot. I mean, this is a guy who has who's been quite clear throughout his career that there is an audience for him. And to pull something like this, he may know something that I think, you know, even like Jeb Bush and the way that, I mean, of course, Jeb Bush is not going to show up there, but Jeb Bush is over. And he's really just, as far as I can tell, just concerned about George P., right? He doesn't want to leave a scorched earth for George P. And he's pretending he's not signing on to Trump. But he would never have I don't think he has the sense of what's going on in his own party enough to make an assessment that I would trust in any way.
Would you tell Jeb Bush sensitive intelligence? Who cares? He's a nothing. You know?
Right. And I don't think Jeb Bush, frankly, has a notion. Any bet that he made about the party, I wouldn't trust. But I think Ted Cruz must know that there is a significant portion of people out there who don't want to vote for Trump in his own party.
I think we know that, right? And the question is how big it is and how intense it is. But the cravenness is also more than we thought, right? I mean, the way that these people have kind of melted away, if you look at the record of what people said then and what people say now, you know, Rubio, Christie, you know, all the candidates. But I think it's not so much that he has some kind of secret poll numbers or anything like that, but that he's a true believer.
Right.
You know, his intensity is, and I mean this metaphorically, religious. You know, he believes with faith that this kind of Reagan conservatism is, you know, this kind of, it's the conservatism never fails. It has only failed, you know, that the Republican Party succeeds in exact proportion to which they hewed some kind of magic conservative formula. It's, you know, it's like the magic word, you know, radical Islamic terrorism.
Right.
You know, and he is just, he's going there, you know, he's going there.
Let me ask you.
And he's wrong, I think.
I mean, I guess it remains to be seen, but
it remains to be seen. It's going to be interesting.
One thing that when I first heard it, you were the first person that came to mind, which was when Donald Trump decided, it seems like he only decided this about 2 weeks ago, to be the law and order candidate. And the thing that struck me was, and the question I've had for you since he first said that was, did Nixon ever say that? In other words, like, he was clearly trying to be that. But was Nixon as ham-fisted as, like, sort of delivering the subtext? It just like, this is just a completely a marketing thing. I'm going to be the law and order candidate. I mean, how did that
play? Did he use those words?
Yeah. I mean, did he actually say the subtext of what he was doing in the way that Donald Trump sort of just doesn't even have a subtext, it just seems. He just says it.
Right. Well, there's a lot there. He did use the words law and order in his 1968 speech and, you know, talked about the crime in the land. But, you know, he did the very clever things that people who have people like Robert Ailes as media advisor, as Nixon did, do. I mean, he said, you know, black people are just as concerned about crime as white people, and, you know, kind of folded it in this kind of, you know, dog whistle, basically. You know, in Nixon land, I quote a passage in Selling the President in 1968, in which Roger Ailes basically says, we got to get a racist up there to say something racist. So Richard Nixon, this is in kind of one of his Q&A man in the arena things that he did for TV. So Nixon kind of come back and give the law and order message by shaving off the racist edges, right? Mm. So they were very sedulous about that. Whereas, I've said it before. I think actually it's John Fugelsang has coined this, that, you know, Trump has taken the dog whistle and turned it into a bullhorn. You know, I'm going to say Mexicans are rapists. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, we're worried about law and order.
Right. And branding yourself as, I mean, just saying the words, it struck me as being like, he can't even bother to be doing the work, right? Like, you know, like you said, like Nixon's laying the groundwork, right? He's talking about policies. He's saying, we have this problem. We need to address this. We need to address that. Trump barely even did that. He just came out and just said, I'm the law and order candidate.
He doesn't have any policies. You remember what the Kasich aide said when Trump approached Kasich and said that to be vice president, and they asked what's Kasich's portfolio going to be in the White House, and they said foreign policy and domestic policy.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, what's Donald going to do? What's Trump going to do? So he's going to make America great again, which sounds crazy, and of course it is crazy, but it's not crazy if you conceptualize the presidency as royalty.
Right.
You know, the king, you know, the figurehead who, you know, like kind of in his person, you know, represents, you know, kind of the destiny of the nation. You know, the king doesn't sit around and you know, look through policy briefs. That's what the king's hand is for, you know,
which is pretty terrifying because I don't think Mike Pence is a terribly competent or intelligent guy. And if he's the one, if he's going to be the captain of the ship, I think we're in, I don't know. I guess Trump too would be sort of terrifying. I mean, it's all terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah. I wonder who's going to be the captain of the ship, you know, who's, you know, I'm sure that the Republican establishment is kind of their backstop in the occasion, you know, in the event that Trump becomes president, is that they, you know, they get some kind of like James Baker figure in there, you know, who kind of really runs things.
Right, a chief of staff.
Who is that guy, and is there a place for him? You know, I don't think so. You know, and, you know, this guy is so crazy, he thinks he can do it, you know?
So give me your sense of coming out of this convention. Of course, you know, tonight we're going to hear from Trump himself.
Although we've had him the past few days, it's very funny. He can't stay away.
He shows up
on the telescreen, you know, and he shows up to hug his wife. He shows up to shake Pence's hand and runs back into the wings. It's very bizarre.
Let's assume for a moment that the speech tonight is fairly canned, that he doesn't vomit all over himself. Is there anything that comes out of this convention that in any way materially impacts the race from your perspective?
I think he gets like a small bounce, right? But not smaller than tends to be the case. I mean, he's not going to get that, like, you know, 28-point Dukakis bounce.
Right.
And I think, you know, the fundamentals are going to continue to kind of grind away at his support. And I think that Hillary Clinton seems to have a pretty strong sense of that you come at this guy hard.
and that's the way she's been doing it. You know, there's been talk of, you know, what happens at the Democratic convention. Do they not even mention Trump? Well, I think Hillary doesn't seem to be heading that way. I think she seems to be heading towards a vision of how you run a Democratic campaign that turns the people who are actually the enemies of freedom and democracy into the enemies of freedom and democracy, and hopefully she'll do that. It would be quite refreshing.
It would
compared
be
to 2004, where, you know, the John Kerry rule that no one can even mention, you know, George Bush at the convention.
Right. Absurd. Absolutely absurd. I don't know. The one thing that strikes me about this convention, I have to say, is that I think if there's anything that comes out of this, you know, aside from the question as to whether or not Ted Cruz was an indication of more dissent, Republican dissent than I think I certainly anticipate there being. But I think the most important feature of this convention is that the media now is not going to buy into the frame that Donald Trump is competent. And I think that over time, that's really going to inhibit his potential, because that's been the one thing. Like, the media has had very tough time wrapping their arms around, it seems to me, broadly speaking. I mean, some I have obviously been able to deal with this, but broadly speaking, with the idea that, like, his policies are bad, whether or not he's, you know, something extraordinary out of the Republicans, or even just, you know, Republican policies are bad. But this competence thing, that he couldn't pull off a convention where he wouldn't have his speaker who gets up there and basically says, I'm declaring mutiny, or that he wouldn't put his wife in a position where she wouldn't be reading Michelle Obama's speech. That to me seems the incompetence thing, I think, is going to take part of the sheen off.
And journalists get plagiarism. You know, that's a pretty fundamental professional value. Have people been talking about the scoreboard going blank last night?
No, I haven't heard that, but that's
well, there it is. Yeah,
I mean, I think I
didn't trip over the plug, but, you know.
Well, I mean, if you do that again, send us the video. If you happen to unplug anything, I mean, by all means, that's definitely something that we would promote.
Donald Trump unplugged.
Rick, hope to see you in Philly. Are you head there?
No.
Oh, well, then in that case.
Too much conventioning for 1 month.
I understand. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. Have fun there tonight.
I'll try, dear one. Cheers.
All right. Bye-bye.
Very nice end to that interview with Rick Perlstein. You can see that we're having problems, whether it's Mossad or the right-wing, vast right-wing conspiracy. We don't know. Is this Joe Arpaio now, Matt? I believe that is, actually.
Is that him?
Joe Arpaio from Maricopa County. He's the Arizona sheriff, which in some ways, if you look at Donald Trump, there's sort of the tabloid culture of New York in the 80s, and then the kind of politics of Pat Buchanan, Sarah Palin, and Sheriff Arpaio. Arpaio is a sort of pioneer of xenophobia. We're working on our video stream, obviously.
Work on it later. Have you read all of Perlstein's books?
I read Nixon Land.
Yeah, I just went through Invisible Bridge again. I haven't read the Goldwater one.
Okay.
But that's the one I want to get to next. But it is...
He's impressive.
It is like a sort of... It's like the Robert Caro LBJ books, but just for conservatism, basically.
Which is terrifying, but well written.
Let's listen to Sheriff Joe...
You want to hear some Arpaio?
Yeah.
Good. He produces results. Is the only candidate for president ready to get tough in order to protect Americans.
The big selling point tonight that Trump is going to be doing is that we are under siege, and it'll be interesting to see how America reacts to being told that they're basically a hair's breadth away from a home invasion.
But I guess it's all just about the emotional reality that these people feel, which is that they do feel that way. Regardless of the reality.
I just wonder if normal Americans
I don't think so. I don't think that this is a normal American bridge speech. Build that wall.
Restore law and order, and keep drugs and illegal immigrants from entering into our country.
Broca pronunciation.
What an electrifying bigot. No, positive. I think he's just a terrible speaker. I've seen him talk before.
I will never forget Donald Trump and what he did for my wife. I have been married to Ava for 29 years. And do it.
Wow.
And during the campaign, she was diagnosed with cancer. Just before going on national TV,
cancer's for
Donald
losers.
Trump called my wife and talked to her for 5 minutes.
And that usually costs you about $30,000.
I never forgot to think of my wife and call her. He did not have to get my support through his kindness to my wife because I was already hooked.
Sounds a little homoerotic, actually.
Like on a drug?
But
let's elect a leader who will stand up for America.
Weird to watch him make the compassion point about Trump.
And support law enforcement.
Law enforcement.
And the military.
Blue Lives Matter at Tron 3000.
And in doing so, unite our country.
I wish we could have killed that autistic guy today.
Let's elect Donald Trump. Thank you.
Kelly, did you work in?
Blue Lives Matter.
Please welcome Pastor Mark Burns from the Harvest Praise and Worship Center.
Where's the motivational guy?
Hello, Republicans! The next president of these United States of America! I'm Pastor Mark Burns from the great state of South Carolina.
The minute this guy... Don't know who this guy is.
Republicans, it is so important...
Matt, did you catch who this guy was?
No, sorry, I didn't know.
Some type of mega church pastor. Mark Burns of the Now Television Network, founder and president.
Get these media properties some exposure.
Yeah, yeah. And those Democrats will do whatever it takes to keep us
He's certainly enthusiastic.
Focusing on the colors that divide us and not the colors that unite us.
This is the real, again, in another weird way, though, like Barack Obama said all of this unity and division stuff better than any of them in 2004, and they hate him with a passion. So it really is bizarre.
Well, everyone wants to unify under the principles that they think are important.
Right.
Like, why are you driving us apart? Why don't you just embrace all
lives matter? Why don't you just embrace my view? Right, exactly. I think that this might be a gentleman who would say all lives matter. In fact, he might say all lives matter in the course of this speech.
I bet you he will.
Let's watch this.
That would be if we had a drinking game, that was the sort of thing we were into.
I'm just drinking.
Yeah, I prefer that.
So let's just go straight to doing that. You know, last night I remember Sam made the point that while we were making fun of Mike Pence, he said we should probably actually watch some of this because this guy might actually be vice president. And it occurred to me that if that actually happens, there's much bigger problems to worry about than having missed that speech. Like, if there's a situation where we're like, we didn't watch that speech when we had a chance, we already should be basically helping build the revolutionary movement in Vermont with Bernie.
White lives, Hispanic lives,
here it is.
Asian lives, Christian lives, Muslim lives, shout with me.
Boo.
Nailed it. Of course.
All lives matter. It was coming.
If you are not white and will say all lives matter, you have a spot at the RNC.
Oh, exactly. It is the greatest career opportunity imaginable.
It's sort of the Milo principle.
It is the... Explain the Milo principle.
Well, Milo, if he wasn't...
And why should anybody even know who he is?
It's all demographic signifiers. So Milo has a British accent and he's gay and will like allow the sort of alt-right to say the word faggot, for instance. And that means...
I disagree.
thousands and thousands of Twitter followers.
That's exactly
media
right.
Media presence, like Vice will commission you to do an article about Ayn Rand, even though,
right.
judging by the actual text of the review, you haven't read it yourself.
Matt is very underwhelmed by Milo.
Yeah,
as far as right wing provocateurs.
Well, I'm sort of obsessed
silly
with
people go.
I'm sort of obsessed with the Milos and the Steven Crowders.
Did you miss Andrew Breitbart? Like, did you? Was that sort of before your time?
No, I was aware
time?
Of him.
Were you in college?
Yeah, he was a college guy.
So, what was your experience of him?
My experience was. I mean, all I really remember from when he was alive was his death. I remember the day he died after what, like going for a jog or something.
I don't think he was jogging. I think you're being way too generous.
Oh, really?
I think he was walking out of a bar after drinking.
And it was sort of like a minor. It wasn't like Scalia. I will always forget, you know, what exactly I was doing when I heard that. So that Scalia died.
You will always forget?
Or always remember and never forget.
I understand.
And Breitbart was a bit like that. I remember being in my kitchen, seeing it on Twitter. Breitbart was dead. I'm like, that's probably a good thing for everyone.
Well, that was the thing about him, is that every time one of these people die, there's always this sort of like rush to not be ghoulish about it. We've talked about this on the show, and I mean, the bottom line is that to the extent to which they play a role in public life, it's incredibly destructive.
Yeah, and it's important
to
talk
saying,
about it.
Oh, I'm glad. And the only reason we talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, some guy who inspects power lines died the same day.
Right, yeah, and I think
this,
like,
guy's still going, and I'm afraid he might collapse.
Yeah, he might pull a Breitbart with the heart
attack. Yeah, he might Breitbart himself up here. I'm disappointed Herman Cain didn't have a speaking role in this convention, actually. Speaking of which, a friend of mine, Bridget Maria, who's there covering it, she had a great picture of her with Herman Cain. And I texted her and I said, I saw the vibe. And she didn't appreciate that text. She sent me back a frowny face.
Why isn't Herman Cain here?
He is there. Like, he's literally there.
Why isn't he a figure?
I have no clue. I actually think Herman Cain would be very simpatico with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They're both business guys. The only difference is that Herman Cain is self-made. He's not a trust fund baby.
Put Herman Cain in charge of the Department of Agriculture.
Or education. Or, like, maybe, like, I bet there would be new cabinet departments. Like, Department of Being Great.
Department of
Big Time.
Department of Marble.
Department of Winning. Department of Not Losers. Oh, here it is. This is another All Lives Matter. We're working up for it.
It's like the chorus.
Americans! If you can't see this guy, he really... He is perspiring. Wow.
So, a prosperity gospel.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a prosperity gospel preacher. Jobs have returned back to this country, I would like to have him on the show soon.
Mass, yeah, I'm worried he'd max out the phone line. Can we turn the amplitude down? You're maxing out the soundboard. Oh, it is all the way down.
You just say we will never die.
Peter Thiel is going to speak tonight. That's why. He's going to give them all immortality.
I don't think immortality is available for black people.
Oh, right.
I don't want my immortality pills to go to ugly black people. This is Peter Thiel.
They can't go on the...
They're gross.
They can't go on the floating island. Or
no, they're not invited. It's a very strict code. There's a very specific dress code. And also, no Puerto Ricans. These are some of the rules that we have. This is Peter Thiel. Obviously, we're still working on the video stream, everybody.
But if you're listening to this, you're probably on the audio stream.
We'll
let you know.
We will obviously let you know. Thank you for bearing with us. I actually blame this guy's lovely wife, Tamara. I think she did it, to be honest with you. Or Blue Lives Matter at Tron 3000.
It's very hard to trust somebody who can get this enthusiastic about Donald Trump.
I don't know if this guy really reeks trust, but I'll tell you what. Finally, and this is the first night that I'm seeing some steady enthusiasm from the audience. That guy knows how
to
give a speech.
Like, just Trump,
Trump, Trump, Trump, putting their arms up.
Hi, everyone.
Reminiscent of something. I'm not sure. Ray, you're a history professor, aren't you? Please welcome. Does it remind you of anything? Thrusting of the arms straight up. Fran Tarkenton.
Who the hell is this guy?
Well, Viking
he was the Vikings quarterback who went on to be a public speaker, motivational speaker.
Oh, great.
Guy.
Thank
you very much. I didn't know he was conservative. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he definitely does look like.
Back in the green room with me, and he was so quiet.
You can tell the old speaker techniques right here, though. This guy knows what he's doing.
I put my hand on his head and on his shoulder and on his heart, and I said,
how many hands do you have?
Yeah. You wanted to loosen him up backstage in the green room? That sounds a little questionable, buddy.
It's a George Bush technique.
Center, and he looks over the defense. He's yelling, Omaha! Tonight, I'm yelling, help!
I wonder if...
I know over here somewhere we have some Minnesota...
Guy sort of looks like a friendly version of Jeff Sessions.
We have some New York Giant fans somewhere, don't we?
Let's list all the 30 NFL teams.
Over here somewhere, we have some.
These are the bad road comics who are opening up for Donald Trump. How many people here from Cleveland?
And I've got something for those Packers.
How many people here would like to see Ivanka's breasts?
I've got something for you.
How many people here would like to see my daughters naked? Well, not Tiffany, obviously. Only Ivanka. She's
in the history of the National Football
Tiffany's
League
a disaster. Never asked her out on a date. Never. She was a solid 6'5" at best. I told her when she told her first Mercedes, I'm not getting you a new one. I'm only going to get you an Audi. Get out of my face.
And they were broken and they didn't win. And he made them into a world championship team year after year. But as great as he was, he didn't
talk
always
win. CTE.
Can I just say, militant apathy tweeted at me and I missed it. In regards to the last speaker, this fool is male vitality on fleek.
That's great.
Oh my God, this is going to be a whole... This is what he does. He just tells football stories.
And he screams at his
players. Win one for the Gipper.
Win
says,
one. I don't know about the Gipper. I mean, we're winning one for me, right?
Right now,
I mean,
win one for the Trumper.
I won one for the... I mean,
hold
I
on,
like
let's,
the Trumper.
I want to hear what...
really?
What the hell is going on, Fran Tarkenton incident?
Oh, fair
the
enough.
The most anemic recovery in modern history. And Washington, it's broken for everybody. At least broken for everybody who doesn't make their living inside the Beltway. What the hell's going on here? We are stuck. We're stuck in frustration, mired in anger and fear. As a quarterback for 18 years of the National Football League, my mission was very simple. It was to make my teammates better. Of course, I made a fortune playing football. Back in 1961, my first year, I made $12,500. So I had an off-season job. I became a small business owner. And as a small business owner, I feel connected to the millions of Americans in this vital sector of our economy. And let's look at the facts. Small business America is the heart and soul of equal
opportunity. It's a lot easier to have a small business when you can sell your name.
Yeah.
That 40%, listen to this number, 40% of 530,000 startups each month are started by African Americans, Hispanics, or Asians.
Boo. Oh, sorry.
Almost a third
excuse me.
Of small businesses in America are started by immigrants, and nearly 40% by women.
Including PayPal.
But the thing is,
so you're probably asking yourselves, why are we so adamantly against all these people?
No, but it's weird. The motivational quarterback is doing a better job.
Especially these past eight years. High taxes, strangling regulations, and practically no access to credit. So I ask, what the hell's going on here? Imagine with me, what could happen in our nation if 27 million job-creating enterprises were suddenly empowered and set free in every neighborhood to grow and build and contribute even more?
I wonder what, as a small business owner myself, he's talking about.
It all comes down to leadership. Whether it's Vince Lombardi years ago.
I mean, it's true. I can't put lead in the lemonade I sell out in front of our office here.
I'm putting lead into the MP3s.
Because of Obama.
Because of Obama, of course.
Sam, you want to build affordable housing for the children?
I've known Donald Trump for 48 years.
This is where Donald Trump really comes from, I think, though.
I've
motivational
known for
speaker
sure
circuit.
He gets stuff done. He's a builder. He understands.
Surprising Larry the Cable Guy couldn't capitalize on all this.
True. I actually met a guy who saw Trump speak at a Learning Annex event like 15 years ago. He's like, it's just what he does.
Donald Trump is a proven leader, a team builder. Donald Trump knows how to get the best out of people, how to be a teammate.
Tiffany, you're supposed to be not on TV. I'm a team builder. Ivanka, put on your sexiest dress. We're going out. It's team building evening in the Trump family.
Melania, just get your speech from Michelle Obama. Just go do hers.
You can't Google Michelle Obama's speech? Are you as stupid as everybody says you are, Melania? Jesus. I know you're a high-priced bottle girl, but for God's sake, you can use Google.
So let's go. You people out
Trump
there,
just now realizes because of the speech
here,
that Melania is not so smart.
Oh, my God.
I can't look together at you the same way anymore.
What? Melania, I mean...
Together, let's go make America great again. Thank
yeah,
you
whatever, God. Fran. Cuck.
Total cuck.
Total cuck. His name's Fran.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Sorry.
Fran Cuckington.
Yeah.
Brock Mueller.
I like my quarterbacks to be rich.
Donald Trump was making fun of this guy for about 30 minutes in the green room
before
he came out.
If this guy was a journalist, Trump would be. Yeah.
Yeah, if this guy was exposing Trump's business practices, it would be a 3-day-long comedy routine.
Christmas Eve, 2007.
Oh, I already don't like him.
My parents, my younger brother, Elliot, his girlfriend, Hollis Reeker, and I were driving to church. Out of nowhere, a car ran a stop sign, crashing into us. My father, my hero, David
we're
Paul
working.
Mueller.
We're up.
We're back on the video stream.
I endured 8.5 hours
no?
of surgery.
No.
When I awoke, the surgeon came into my room with more devastating news. My spinal cord damage was about the worst she had ever seen. She said that I would likely never walk again, and that even a 1% chance was overly optimistic. But that 1% was all I needed. Through it all, I had faith in Jesus Christ.
Is that woman standing up and waving to Jesus Christ?
To make that 1%
I'm not sure I know how this works.
Truthfully,
yeah, you
God made
Jew.
That 1% a reality. His will, not mine.
We know how to hire Hitler. That's
he
what Ray Student pointed out.
Is our video
Rich
up?
Mike, who gave me a fighting chance.
Okay.
It's tweeted
His
out.
His blessings enabled me to graduate from the Ohio State University. And I went on to be cheered
that says,
by University of Michigan fans as I led the
Casual Friday,
the
incidentally.
Field. He blessed me with my beautiful wife.
Can you give me a link?
We walked down the aisle together. He gave me countless other blessings.
Because the
this very moment for me is a testament to God working all things for the good.
Hmm. Well, he's a nice man.
That's weird.
And guess who else was told that he had a 1% chance? A company that analyzes polling data for CNN predicted last year that Donald Trump had a 1% chance of winning the Republican nomination for president.
But not the majority report.
I don't think probability works like this. If I had a 1% chance and I survived,
Mr.
that
Trump,
means 1% chances aren't 1% chances. I mean, not
you
to defend polling.
You are such a cuck, Matt. Like, I'm looking at you, and
the idea
testosterone
that
is literally just vanishing from everyone.
Why would you bring math?
Right yeah.
The way you bring math into this disgusting.
Just gross.
Just as Michigan was willing to adopt the Buckeye.
Why don't you go lift some weights and learn how to be stupid?
We're Bayesians.
Behind Donald Trump, to make America one again. Now, I want to turn it over to a fellow Ohio State graduate who really knows how to unite a team, Coach Bobby Knight.
Oh, my God.
Oh, here we go.
I hope he'll slap
somebody.
He's not
in person.
Team Trump. That's
surprising.
Working toward making America the greatest there is.
I've met this guy twice.
As a coach, my main objective was to win. And
did he call you a
Donald
cuck?
Trump will always
no, he was pheasant hunting.
Winning on he smack his you mind. With a chair? Wait, that's it?
Okay.
Wow.
Sounds like an Instagram
once
video.
Again,
okay, I'll do a Vine video for you, you bastard.
Nashville recording artist, I wonder if they clipped that from somewhere else.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, just clip it. It's fine.
I bet Trump really listens to this kind of music.
Yeah. What do you think? You know what? Trump is soulless, so what kind of music does he actually
Wagner.
Listen to? No.
All right, I mean, should we try the Ted Cruz speaking to the morning? Do we have that sound? Or are we pushing it?
Yeah, don't get all cocky.
Yeah, all right, let's see. Why don't I go to the phones then? Can you turn down that guy?
Oh, he's great. What's his name, Billy Bob?
You're calling from an 815 area code. Who's this?
Oh, my God, an hour on hold. Jesus.
All right. Goodbye. Click.
Anyways, cock. Today, gentlemen, good story. So today we had an anti.
Who's this?
Here
who's
in our
this?
City.
Who is it?
Angel.
Angel.
Angel from Chile. Anyway, so we had an anti-Trump rally today in our county, and we started at 3:30, and as soon as I got there, we had three young gentlemen. One of them had to make America great again, so he went, you know, over to our dumb Trump protest and showed up. So these kids were, you know, they were young, they were late teens, early 20s. So they had pretty much all their points. They wanted to, you know, talk and have a discussion, a little bit of arguments. But the part, one of the most funniest part, I thought about you guys. So we asked him, you know, when was America? We asked one of the kids. He had to be like 19. Like, so to you, when was America great again? So he said early. He said like early 90s, late 80s. So we said, you know, well, what about rights of gay people, right? So, in the most angry, like under his voice type tone, he literally just said the typical, "I'm tired of you. We were trying to shove stuff down our throats," but like really, really, really passionate, like. Like the exact same way you guys say it in the show, like just as a joke, but it was serious. And then I felt bad for the guy because his other two friends looked at him too, like he was out of line. And then his friend said, they're like, he has like kind of issues. So we started talking to the kid, and it turns out, like for the most part, the kid is kind of, I think he just hasn't come out, like everything. So he just kept going, saying how us liberals are trying to shove stuff down their throats. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
You got to videotape stuff like that.
I don't want to be disrespectful. But
yeah, I bet you would like it, wouldn't you? Down the throat.
It was amazing seeing these kids react. It was amazing.
So wait a second. He said he wanted to return America to greatness as in the late 80s, early 90s? So
yeah. The Simpsons was good.
George Herbert Walker Bush, in other words, that era. Right around the time we had a massive recession.
Well, I mean, they were kind of clueless. We asked them, like, so what's so bad about, you know, then they were like, Obama's the worst, all his executive actions. So then we asked them, as opposed to whose. And they had no information on that.
I think I like the idea that they say, I want to make America great again, like the time when, around the era when I used to poop my pants and my mommy would change it for me. That was basically when I was
pretty much
two and a half.
Yeah. So it was pretty interesting. And they were like, "Well, Trump's a self-made man." I'm like, "What? Didn't he inherit a million dollars from his dad?" Yeah, but that doesn't count. He made it. So it was just every single point we'd counter with. I mean, it wasn't overly emotional for us.
Yeah.
But for them, it was just like this emotional, attraction to the whole Trump thing.
Well, did you call our
group?
Did you call him?
Appreciate the call.
Across the street, that's when all the hardcores started showing up with their, all like the biker type people. It was pretty fun.
Did you call him?
Well, thank you.
But just having these conversations.
Thanks for the call.
Did you call him a cuck?
Thanks for the call.
I did.
All right. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. Calling from a 7 area code. Who's this?
Hello, Sam.
Who's this?
This is John Miller.
John Miller. Hello, John Miller.
Yes. Yes. Do you know why the Trump family looks so immortal and plastic and kind of like vampires?
No, I don't. Why?
Because they dug up Reagan's corpse and they ate the golden jelly bean of immortality.
Okay.
From his stomach.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
Leave it to the quasi-professionals.
Yeah, exactly.
That impression went between Trump and Reagan.
You're calling from an 818 area code. Who's this?
It's a little
Hey, this is Steve in California.
Hello, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you so much for last night. It was hilarious. You made that way more tolerable than it should have been. And my deepest and sincerest regards to your livers for both last night and probably tonight.
Yes, I'm working on it right now. Now that our video is streaming, I'm free to just drink excessively. So
that's true, Steve. It's a great point.
That's true. It is freeing. Yeah. And also, as somebody who moved out here from Indiana, I just want to say I am really terrified by the notion of a President Pence. Mm. He does not represent the state as well as people might think.
I don't think we would.
I was going to, did either of you guys see the W. Kamau Bell show, United States of America?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
No.
There was a segment where he wanted to visit this town that was represented by this ultra-racist Republican, of course, because he figured, oh man, it's going to be openly hostile and these people are just going to hate the fact that I'm there because I'm a black man. And he goes there and of course it's pretty much what you expect from a small town. People are just very polite and welcoming and did not represent his people at all. So I just wanted to make the case that Pence is sort of the same for Indiana.
All right. Well, appreciate that.
Thanks.
All right.
Can we give
Blackburn
a jump?
Let's go. Right. Yeah. We're going to pull up Marsha Blackburn. She's.
I have a question for you.
Oh,
lock her up.
Do you want to help make America one again? Let me hear you.
What about states' rights?
All right.
So she's pushing federalism.
You know, we have all had enough of bloated budgets, unkept promises, and pointless red lines. We've had
red
enough
lines.
Division.
Yeah, because of the no-go Muslim areas.
Rhetoric that serves to
and Obama in Syria.
I would imagine that she would support.
Right, she's talking
there
Syria.
Is Obama in Syria. Right.
Enough of seeing our 401ks get smaller, our bills get bigger, our taxes go
stock
up.
Stock market is up.
And our paychecks
quite
shrink.
A bit.
In short, the American people have had it. Yes, and they are ready for change. They are ready for someone to take the reins and bring us together.
Yeah, that's true, Marsha. It's a great point.
Take the reins and bring us together.
Take the reins. Take the whip, if you will.
Lucky reindeer.
Into shape.
Lucky reindeer, and it's Christmas in Trumpland.
Let's get her done.
Well, there's the Larry the Cable Guy.
It'll be great,
Marsha.
Wonder if
it gets royalties on that.
Could you quote Larry the Cable Guy?
Ahead of schedule and under
freak.
Budget, who's read the specs?
Oh, yeah, Donald
the
Trump.
Line, okay. Negotiated the
Pence.
Cost and built something to last. A leader who knows that this country is not full of assets to be managed, forgotten, or deleted. Our nation is full of citizens who want a leader who knows the sure route to prosperity, who inspires. Mm. Who knows that leadership is a hard-fought verb and not a subject line in an email.
Leadership is not a verb.
And that is why
it's not a verb.
Grammar lesson for you.
All of you to join me tonight.
I mean, am I right about that?
In electing Donald Trump as president of the United States.
Cuck. cuck can be a verb, though.
Donald Trump has the skills required to lead this nation, a diverse nation, and he can help our people achieve
greatness. Tonight's
diversity
night.
He believes
the same night that Joe Arpaio speaks is diversity night.
Because he has lived the American dream.
The American dream. You get money from your dad,
you know,
and then you buy up a bunch of underpriced buildings using political connections in Manhattan.
President Lincoln stood right here in this very city 155 years ago.
And then you bang your daughter.
Pence makes his entrance.
Bind together or perish.
He's such a goofball.
Apart.
He does look
like
a Lego man.
He looks like a cross of sort of a Lego man.
If all do not join now to save the good ship of the Union this voyage, nobody will have a chance to pilot her on another. And again, we
that's
find
what
our
she
nation
said.
In desperate need of true leadership, in desperate need of unity. The last 8 years have really been a challenge to our national and our household budgets, to our Constitution, and to the men and women who give their lives and their sacred honor to protect that Constitution and to protect us. We know that Donald Trump is a leader who has seen challenges. He's learned his lessons, solved problems. He has delivered results. Some of
I am really amazed at how sort of incoherent the themes are. There's been no attempt whatsoever to make a case. So you're just sort of lurching from speaker to speaker, where it is the most schizophrenic of speech. Like, even if they spent the whole night going lock her up, which I guess they sort of did that, but not really. It's like almost like the media has had to sort of put it together.
I think it almost seems as if they were like, well, Mr. Trump, what if this night, what if I... They all almost want to invent the Trump they want him to be in their various sort of demographics and images. So they're
like, they come up with these themes. Don't they at least say, like, hey...
Oh, you're talking about the original theme, like, keep America safe. The only night that did that was the first night, because they did keep just doing Benghazi, 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 Benghazi. Besides that, they've done it not at all.
Maybe, but I don't... I mean, I thought that was also fairly schizophrenic. It's gotten more schizophrenic as it's gone along.
Well, they just...
Like, it's just like, we at one point just threw up our arms and said, like, this is just too hard to get everybody on the same page.
I had papers in college where I just started basically just riffing.
Right.
The past, like...
Dude, I mean, all of the basic points are still the same. Hillary's Hitler.
Yeah, but
and
the thing is,
Trump
is
wonderful.
They lurch.
We Americans are bound together by the shared desire for
they lurch.
Faith,
I mean... They're lurching. It's true. I mean, they have no theme.
And
they're lurching.
Later tonight is Lurch from the Munsters.
Yeah, I mean, they're lurching. They don't know what they're doing. It's a lurch.
Internationalist Harold, seriously, the legacy of Hillary Clinton, death, destruction, and weakness. Is Trump giving another Trump U presentation? Rich, God loves the 1%. It's true. Matt in the BK. July 24th, are you drunk already or still drunk from last night? I truly... Oh, I guess it's the 21st. I truly fear for your livers tonight, except for Kelly's Irish-infused liver. Do you really think they'll have time to brutally dismember the Hillary impersonator tonight before the final shofar? What was the big deal with Cruz not endorsing? My dad always said that the Republicans want to return us to the 50s of Ozzie and Harriet, Father's Knows Best, and other fictional settings that never existed. I guess America, Make America One Again is tonight's theme. Of course, his projects are always under budget. He never pays anyone.
I mean, it's certainly Father Knows Best, am I right, Ivanka? Very good lover.
Deuce me daily, watching along, I can't tell which is under the greater imminent threat, America or Sam's liver. Also, great job on the Clara hire. Recovering Brad, Brad Josh. Apparently, Bill Clinton has voiced up his opinion that Tim Kaine should be VP. Actually, legally, could Bill Clinton be VP? That would be a curveball. Actually, if she wanted to further wrap herself up on Obama, she'd pick Obama as VP.
Or Biden.
Colin Dustin, sorry for the bad impression. Did you get my jelly bean part?
Yeah.
think that's Reagan like jelly beans. I'm going to call in again. Please don't hang up. I want to talk normally. Joseph Ballin.
Oh, is this Fallon?
Seoul convention has been a disaster. Nightwine, plagiarism night.
Oklahoma loves New York, too.
Can we hear her for a sec? Fallon?
Who's this?
Oh, this is Fallon. Mary Fallon.
Thank you.
Give her a minute.
Lucifer, night three.
Thank you.
Ted Cruz not endorsing Trump.
My king.
All right, America, I have a question. Are you ready for change?
All right, America.
Me too.
They're even stealing Obama's lines.
Right.
I grew up in Tecumseh.
Stealing a lot of Obama's lines, actually.
A small town in Oklahoma. It was one of those all-American towns where everyone watches high school football on Friday nights and neighbors take care of neighbors. In Tecumseh,
yeah, we don't like the Jews controlling
poverty,
our world money supply.
But it wasn't a destiny that was inevitable. We were optimistic about our future, and we knew we could succeed with hard work, a good education, and faith in God.
And then one day, a Muslim was made president of the United States.
Opportunities for young and women, then Barack Obama came along and said, "Psych,
great role model.
It's not going to work anymore."
A woman mayor, my mom.
Home.
Oh, a dynasty.
A little Oakland dynasty.
She taught me if I worked hard, I could be anything. And I took that lesson to heart.
This is, I think they're also trying to do sort of a woman night tonight as well. There was a kind of video earlier about how supportive Donald Trump is of women in the workplace.
I'd also say Mary Fallon, if she tried her hardest, I don't think she could have become an astronaut. I think the politician thing was mainly because her mom was a politician.
Y'all want to go to the moon? What, y'all to do that in the TV studio?
It's just hard work.
Just hard work. If you think hard enough, we can go to Mars, fellas. We can walk on the outer cusp of the Earth's surface if we just visualize it.
Like civil rights leader Clara Luper, who was leading sit-ins and successfully integrating
the rabble rouser.
I remember when my mama turned a fire hose on Clara Luper.
For respect and opportunity. So when I look back on my childhood, my America,
well,
I don't see a
perfectly
place,
white.
But we were united
just a white place.
By a simple belief that no matter who you were or where you came from,
your skin's white.
Better days were ahead for
no matter
us.
Who you are or where you came from, that's another Obama line.
What's that?
It's another Obama line.
Yeah.
What,
today,
you were going to do the edit on it? What was that?
That sense of unity and optimism.
Doesn't
not
matter who you are or where you're from. As long as you're white, you have a place here.
Your ancestors could come
divided.
From Sweden or Germany
afraid,
or even a place really weird like Greece. And as long as you don't leave a major
but
metropolitan area, you should be able to get housing.
And have it become the new normal. In America, we won't. And I believe the American people are longing for the American dream, where they can just get a fair shake in life and an opportunity to
just
succeed.
Want a fair shake, man.
We
that's all I want.
America
I just want a fair shake.
Again,
I just want
and restore the confidence and the strength of our nation.
I just want a fair hearing in front of the Atlantic City licensing board. I mean, is that too much
and
to ask?
It's no secret. Donald Trump is bold, tenacious, courageous, and he's an outspoken leader. And he knows how to create jobs and successful businesses. He has bold ideas, and
oh,
he speaks truth to power.
GJ, leadership is by
he
no
is
means a verb. It's a noun. Trust me, I'm a linguist.
Right.
That's okay. Marsha Blackburn doesn't believe in fact. Also, she's one of the worst people in the world. Hold on, Sam. Have you all seen the video of Alex Jones and Roger Stone crashing the TYT set? I did. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I thought Cenk was actually going to get into a fight with Alex Jones. And frankly, not convinced he shouldn't have just let it fly.
Cenk was great. That was awesome.
Funny voice.
I'd watch a cage match between Cenk and Roger Stone and Alex Jones.
Oh, Stone ran. Jones was there. I will give him that.
Revolutionary Bernie. Michael's very much welcome to join the Vermont Revolutionary Alliance. We need to find out what the hell is going on in the Democratic Party. Epish. This is what an organization with zero unity looks like, where every single speaker is just their donor's mouthpiece or self-interested.
Right.
With all the drunks in the Wisconsin GOP, you guys are just matching the mood last night. Thanks for bringing Perlstein on. We're not all jerks from Milwaukee County. So good to have him rep with Clark and Walker these past 2 days. Kyle, bring back Clara. Cap Matt Heath. Hey, Sam, you really see a presidential run in Pence's future? If when Trump loses, Pence will just be the failed VP candidate. Yeah, he will be, but I think he'll try and run. Did you see Cenk almost knock Alex Jones out? Yes, I did.
It's pretty great.
Amiller, CFA, did you hear about the fight? I did. Do you guys watch clip of Alex Jones? Yes. Edward Reno, what Cruz is betting on is the GOP base will be looking for someone to absolve them of their sins the day after the election. Someone to not rub in the humiliation of having been taken by a Volcker con man. Just like the Tea Party let Bush voters off the hook and enabled their strategic forgettery, Cruz understands the defining trait of the GOP base is denial. Ivitz, Doug called Hartman today. I emailed it to you. It's almost 9 minutes. Yeah, we listened. It was pretty funny. LibGrad, yes, I saw Alex Jones and Roger Stone.
Best
Sarah
part.
Stardust, the technical issues today were due to the Blue Lives Matter-a-tron 3000. Thanks for keeping me up to date with the news. Back home with a healthy dose of humor. This would have all depressed me or bored me now without you guys.
That's okay.
I don't
Rick,
want them.
Is she still up there?
Yeah, she is.
Does she think she's the nominee? Rick, yesterday was the best mother effer I've heard in a while. Cheers. Danny. Sam, did you see the widow of Lee Atwater being interviewed on MSNBC? She was originally not supporting Trump, but was converted after she heard Trump Jr. speaking. Mind numbing stupid. Trump reminds me so much of Lee, she said. AJS93, with the whole that's an Obama line thing, doesn't that just show how empty and hollow political rhetoric is? Just about any politician can use it. Good point.
That's a fair point.
That's an easy way to make your opinion matter if normally people wouldn't be interested into it, is to like have a BS conversion story where I was on the fence at first, but then this really
set
me over.
Please definitely.
Welcome the head of Korean Americans for Trump, Dr. Lisa Shin.
You like Trump? I'm just kidding. Just doing a little Asian humor. That's great, Lisa Shin. Come on out.
My name is Lisa Shin.
She totally worked
and
on
I am
at some
deeply
point, right?
humbled and honored to speak to you as a national delegate from the great state of New Mexico.
She must have worked for him.
She's a delegate and she's Korean, so
I am a Christian,
get on stage.
Oh, she's
a
Christian.
A wife and a mother. I have been in private practice as an optometrist for the past 19 years.
In Rand Paul's
years.
Network.
I am Korean American. And I am very proud to be a supporter of the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
You know, they usually go for Asian women, but I like the way she uses her arms. It's great.
I wonder if he tried out his impression. On...
Over 40 years ago.
Wait, do we have his impression?
Hey, Lisa
remember
South
Trump
Korea
did the Chinese? Like,
to come to America.
Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, Lisa Shin.
They can take your money.
Hey, Lisa Shin. You want McDeal?
What was his?
That's what he said.
You want McDeal? We McDeal with you.
They come in, they go, we want McDeal. That was his impression.
Yeah.
I wonder if he did that when he first met Lisa Shin.
And live you want make glasses?
You want make convention?
They knew America was the land of
you know, but I will say again,
freedom,
as ridiculous as this
where
is, she's one of the better primetime speakers they've had, and she's a
so
complete novice.
Yeah,
it's kind of stunning.
And defend the
Constitution. Do you want to hear Trump impression?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Please.
Japan, negotiating with China. When these people walk in the room, they don't say, oh, hello, how's the weather? It's so beautiful outside. Isn't it lovely? How are the Yankees doing? Oh, they're doing wonderful. Great. They say, we want deal. He jumped out of the seat.
We want deal.
We want deal. That's what Matt says when he comes in the morning, though. It's very weird.
I want deal.
He goes, I want all deal.
Right. All right, let's go to this sound.
Hillary from Clinton is a direct threat to the American dream.
Okay, free beers. That's it for you tonight. We continued on with the show. Because the Republicans continued on with the show. But if you want to go back and relive the magic, become a member today. Go to jointhemajorityreport.com. Don't forget, help us out by buying your Amazon or Jet.com stuff through our Majority Report kickback link. That's at majoritycommittee.com. and also justcoffee.coop. Fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. We will be back Tuesday night, approximately 7 p.m. Going to have some other guests maybe in studio and some more shenanigans and hooligans. A lot of gans tomorrow night. All right, folks.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. Don't get paid for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somehow lost my drive.